Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and book a Reach More Clients Power Session. Also, don't forget, July 23rd, 2022, at the Long Beach Hilton, we'll be having our second annual Reach More Clients Power Conference at the beautiful Long Beach Hilton Hotel. So without further ado, today's guest on the SEO Queen Tech Show is the man behind Showtime at the Apollo, three more tenors, three more divas, and the author of My Estate Planner. He is the guy who takes an idea to the stage. I want to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Marion Caffey. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. That's awesome. So happy to have you here. So, Marion, please tell me, I want to know, what inspired you to get into show business?
Well, I think I have been, leaning that way since I was in, high school. I just loved music and, in my record player in my room, listening to all of the music, and just grew up in a very musical household. We listened to all kinds of music, from classical to jazz to blues to soul to rock. And I think after that, while I was in high school, I was in a little singing group, pretending to be the Temptations and the Delphonics and those Four Tops and those male groups of the 60s and 70s. And after that, I went to Florida A&M University, and I played in the band, played drums in the Marching 100. So that was like a huge musical coup for me to get in there.
So you had your own drumline experience.
Yes.
PCU. That's awesome.
Yes. So it was at FAMU, who was the originator of all of the fast marching. That was the band I got in when I was in college. After that, I went to, fast forward many years after the Army and after college, I ended up in California, and I auditioned for the opera Porgy and Bess for a community theater production. And so as I was in California and I auditioned for the opera Porgy and Bess in a community theater production, I got the production and actually was an understudy for Clifton Davis, who was played Sport.
Wow. Clifton Davis.
Yes, the famous Clifton Davis, who is, I think now is, last I saw him was in the Godfather of Harlem, playing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I just was watching that the other day.
Oh, wow.
And yes, of course, he is very famous for his sitcoms shows in the 70s and 80s. An amazing human being, amazing actor. So anyway, that was my first job in theater per se. And while I was on set rehearsing that, one of the ladies who played Bess in Porgy and Bess, her name was Priscilla Baskerville. she said, you know, you're really talented. You should come to New York. And I didn't know any better than months after that show was to get in my VW Beetle and drive to New York and pursue theater, and not knowing anybody, not knowing anything about the industry. I guess it was just meant to be. So in 1981, I drove into New York City and pursued a career in show business. And like they say, I guess that's history, because I became an actor, singer, dancer, double for Gregory Hines in some of his movies early on. And ultimately now, after being on stage, I directed and choreographed and wrote a show called Street Corner Symphony on Broadway. I created the show Three Mo' Tenors and Street Corner Symphony, which was on Broadway, and Cooking at the Cookery and Three Mo' Divas. And I've had shows around the country, around the globe. Three Mo' Divas actually got an NAACP award nomination for the album against Jay-Z. Of course, I didn't win, but that was an honor to be nominated in the category of Alicia Keys and Jay-Z.
Oh, wow. That was when they had did the New York song.
I can't remember what song that album, I can't remember what album it was up against. I just remember that I was nominated and went to the award show in Hollywood. And that was a great night in my life to be nominated in that category with such stars.
Oh, that's amazing.
And now I have ended up as, this is my 13th season as the producer of Amateur Night at the Apollo, which was the creation that born Showtime at the Apollo. And I was casting producer at Showtime at the Apollo, the return of Showtime, which Steve Harvey was the host and was produced on Fox TV.
So, oh, wow, that's amazing. So
then to now.
So I have to ask you, for those artists who are listening to this episode, like, what advice would you give to a contestant on Amateur Night to not get a wop wop?
Well, I mean, be good, simply that. They just, the audience is, of course, the thing that makes the show live, and it is the longest running talent competition in America for sure, and the world perhaps. This is our 88th season, but I guess for talent, you just have to be good, and the audience has to believe that you're good. We have people every week that come on that are amazing, gifted, talented people, and they don't get booed off the stage, but many do. And even people who were famous got booed. I guess Lauryn Hill is our most famous person to get booed off the stage that ended up being a star. But many stars aren't stars when they come on, so they have to learn how to get good and how to be good. So it's all about talent.
So before Lauryn Hill was with the Fugees, and before the Miseducation, she came on Amateur Night?
Yes, and she is famously, I think it's on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, she got booed off the stage. But, you know, it's a lot of stars have come through there and suffered the fate. But they weren't necessarily stars when they arrived at Amateur Night. As the motto goes, Apollo is where stars are born and legends are made. So it takes a lot to turn yourself into a star, be turned into a star over the years. But you know, so many stars have passed through the Apollo, and I'm thrilled to have been a part of it.
Now, give me three stars that you remember their performance at the Apollo.
Well, I think her came since I've been there, before she became her, the famous star. I can't remember her real name now, but she came on.
I think it's Gabby something. I'm not sure, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't remember her real name, but she's the, and then right, the most recent, I would say Machine Gun Kelly, was definitely under my reign. He came rail thin, sort of this tattooed guy, got off the bus and came to the stage door and came through and auditioned for me. And I think 15 seconds, of him rapping, I'm like, oh yes, we definitely have to take him. And he came on the show and won and won and won
Oh,
because he was
wow. Machine
amazing.
Gun Kelly
Yes, MG.
did Showtime at the Apollo, the amateur night.
Amateur night, yes.
Yeah, amateur night.
Yes.
Wow, I did not know that about him.
That's where his star began. And right after that, I think he got picked up by P. Diddy for his, I think P. Diddy produced his first album or picked him up for as a client or something. And he ascended to where he is now. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm saying 15 seconds. It wasn't 15 seconds after he started rapping because I'd never heard anybody rap that fast and be that articulate. You could understand
Oh,
everything he was saying. And this was, no microphone, him after riding the bus all the way from
wow. So
Ohio.
we could say that you discovered him, 'cause you gave him a
No, I don't really like that word because people are who they are. And, it was a pivotal moment in his career for sure. He talks about it in his interviews. But just as a human, and I just really don't care for discovering somebody because, they discovered America.
I see what you're saying. I see
So
what you're saying.
it was already here being used, but
Right.
I think,
Okay.
yeah, so
But you did
that's
give
my
him a significant break. We can say that. You
absolutely,
gave him
absolutely.
a significant opportunity that was life-changing.
Absolutely.
So
And that is what the Apollo does. It creates opportunities for people to a stepping stone in their career. So it's a fun job. I mean, to do that. And my moment for the Apollo is I got the job the same day that we discovered that Obama was the president of the United States.
oh, wow.
First day on the job, driving in a taxi was the first day we woke up and Obama had won the election. So
Oh, wow.
imagine me and the taxi driver had a really wonderful conversation. I for the first time, I think, as a black man, just had a straight spine that morning. And the taxi driver said he felt the same way. It was a wonderful, and that's my greatest memory of my first day at the Apollo as producer of Amateur Night. So
Oh,
it's
that's
quite,
awesome. That's awesome.
it was great.
So, what does a show producer do?
Well, in this particular case, I cast the shows,
Okay.
and then I make sure that the entire show, I build a show as an arc. Like there was a framework of it when I came, and then they wanted to improve upon what it was and sort of make it different. And you work with marketing to make sure that the right audience, you're going after the right audiences, or if you want to change audiences, because early on the Apollo was dependent on the local audiences in Harlem, but that is like the world, that is no longer the case. And also the artists coming in there were because that was the only place black artists could come to perform. That was the top of the heap for most black performers in the 50s and 60s. And but that is no longer the case. Now all houses welcome the Apollo, so we had to figure out how to get new artist in. And so you put that together, you say when a specific talent is going on in the arc of the show, what happens when the curtain goes up, what the lights look like, what the sound sounds like. Every element of the show, the producer is in charge of that, of the entire vision for the show and making sure all the departments are working in harmony. So that's, and off the stage, that is, casting is the big key to this particular job. But producers per se, that is not every producer's responsibility on every kind of project. Film producers are different than television and different than record producers, different than theater and the Apollo and concerts. That word producer takes on a different light in the different genres.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. You have an awesome responsibility. So I want to know from you, like, how did you master all these skills? Because, you know, directing the lighting, directing the music, the casting, you must work really long hours to put each show together.
Well, the hours aren't long now because of me bringing the history and the vision and all my long hours before I got to the Apollo, putting together those skill sets. And you don't look at it as work per se, because I mean, people tend to make hard or negative, make that sound terrible, like, oh, I'm working. It's really not that much work when it's so much fun. And I was born to do this. I just was. It being in entertainment, and even people who were with me as actor when I was an actor and singer and dancer, they all tell me now that I was always, I guess, honing my skills to become a director and producer. And I, when I look back on it, I guess, you know, that's right, because I just loved how it was made. Even though I was singing on stage or dancing or acting on stage, I always paid attention to what was happening backstage, what the lights looked like, what the sound sounded like, what the costumes looked like, and all of those elements. So over the decades of doing all of that many, many times, honing my skills, I guess that's what makes me be able to do what I'm doing now. I feel comfortable in this role, and I was born to be in theater. There's no doubt. Every day I wake up, I know that that's what I was meant to do. Oh, and it's problem solving as producer. Right. You have to problem solve all day, all the time. Something always goes wrong with live theater. Always, every single week, something happens and you have to fix it quickly or figure out how to make that not happen the next week or change it to happen next week because you discovered something good.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. So how can people purchase tickets to Amateur Night?
Oh, go to the website, apollotheater.org, and you just click on the schedule, choose your date for Amateur Night, and there it is.
Is Amateur Night live streamed, or is it?
It will be eventually. We have been testing live streaming, and okay. When we were in COVID, the show shut down for 2 years.
Okay.
Without any show happening. And then we started to test live streaming just before COVID happened.
Oh, so wow.
It will eventually be live streamed, that is no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. So what did you do during those 2 years that the show was shut down?
Like everybody else, scramble for life. You know, reinvent yourself. Figure out the internet. So, you know, I mean, I had invested well. So really, that's how myself and my daughter survived. My uh-huh. daughter was heading to college in the middle of COVID. And we had worked a long and hard time trying to get her into college. So she, you know, without dad having a job per se, we had to live off the investing I had done prior to that. And so that worked out well. But I don't like totally living off my investment without anything coming in. So it was a scramble like millions and millions of other people.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. So, what did you end up doing? Because a little birdie told me that you became an author.
Yes, well, that just came about 3, 4 months ago by way of 1989. Now, how that makes sense is when my mom passed many, many years ago, I went home to Florida to take care of her business, her burial and funeral arrangements, and just cleaning up or a person's life after they passed. And I did not realize that in heading down there, that I didn't know if she had a will, if she had trust, if where her documents are, did she have annuities, did she have bank accounts, or what was her, well, there was no social media at the time, but what about insurance, where the insurance policy was, did she have mutual funds, who would take care of the pet, what about the mortgage and the deed? So I took me a long time, and actually several passings in my family to say, I have to do something about this. And I created this book called My Estate Planner, Information for My Family. And so fast forward to 3 or 4 months ago, I looked at this book. Or actually, my sister looked at the book and said, "Wow, this book is still relevant." And I said, "Yeah, it was a good idea back then." So I decided to refresh the book, put all new categories in, well, the categories that remain that make sense, and then put new categories in. I think we are the most up-to-date estate planner on the market. We include Meta as Facebook, and that change does happen. We include a category of non-fungible tokens or NFTs. We include cryptocurrency, and that if you now have Bitcoin or Ethereum or Dogecoin, you can now put that in the book. So it's simply a record book, a comprehensive record book of information, documents, assets, and obligations, so that when somebody passes or somebody becomes incapacitated in your family, which one of those two, everybody will pass that way, your family is not searching and scrambling and gathering up your well-lived life, and they can put it, you would have it all in one book. You don't have to share the information with anyone. You just tell somebody where the information is located. So I tell my daughter, if anything happens to me, look in a certain place in the house or in the bank or in my attorney will have this book and all of my information will be there. And so it'll make her a lot easier to get things done and clean up my life. And everybody, it's a tough subject, but everybody has to pass that way. And I say that loss is a win, not if reality.
Wow, losses is a win reality, not if.
Not if.
It's a win. When will it happen? And so it's best to be prepared. So I think this what you described to me, my estate planner, is a phenomenal tool for estate planning. How can people read more about it and purchase a copy today? And how much does a copy cost?
Well, we have three versions of the planner. It's My Estate Planner, Essential Information for My Family, and it can be found on my website, which is sunshinepublications, LLC.com. That's sunshine, then publications with an S, LLC.com. It's also available on walmart.com, barnesandnoble.com, and amazon.com. And many other online bookstores, booksellers. But the website is the easiest place. We have a 1099 paperback version. We have a 1479 hardcover. And we have an easy PDF download. If you don't want to deal with shipping and handling or waiting for it, you want it right now, You can download it immediately from the website. It's called My Estate ePlanner. And you can learn all about each one of those on the website, which is sunshinepublicationsllc.com. And the download is $5.49. So you can have all of them for a couple of Starbucks coffees. You can get entire life in order. And we think it's a wonderful tool for families. It simply makes life after loss a bit easier for everybody.
Right. I think this is a phenomenal tool that all families should utilize to make it easier for their families. Absolutely. So I want to go back to something you said before about how you had gotten inspiration for creating this. You said you just refreshed it and brought it back to the market about 3-4 months ago. So how long did it take you from idea to conception to make this planner?
Well, honestly, about 4 weeks from the first idea. That is one thing I was, a gift that I was born with, and I give all that to God. I am one person who can take an idea from page to the stage. And it, once I get the idea and I get my hooks in it, it doesn't take me that long to create the vision and create the product itself. Theater, that's how I've created all the theater that I've thought about. And it just comes to me and I said, you know, let's do this. But then, you know, then there's the life of the practicality of turning it into a book and then figuring out the marketing and promotion and how to sell it and who needs it and all of that. But no more than 4 weeks, the original time. And this time from when I got home from visiting my sister with this idea of refreshing it, it was within a week I had hired the person to do the formatting for Amazon, and we were off to market within 4 weeks.
Wow, that's incredible. So what does your daughter think about this new planning book?
Well, she bought a copy on her own when she was in college. And she said, "Dad, I can't believe you were just talking to me about this on the phone and now it's a real thing." So she ordered it from her dorm in UChicago. And she's proud of me as I am proud of her. But she now understands what I need to do to make her life easier when I pass or become ill or become incapacitated. She understands now, looking in this book, all the things that she would have to guess where they are. And, you know, even my Facebook page and my Apple Watch and my phone, what are all those passwords? You know, no one knows all of these things about us and, you know, what Instagram page to shut down and things like that. But now that she can see it, she said, "Wow, Dad, this is a lot of information that I would not have known. I thought I knew you, but then I really didn't know. I don't know all this stuff about you." So that you know, it helps her understand what life is about from my point of view at an advanced age. So she's, as far as the book goes, she's just proud that I did it and that people are buying it. It's an exciting tool. I call proper preparation provides for a peaceful process.
Oh, I like that. Say that one more time.
Proper preparation provides for a peaceful process.
Well, that sounds amazing. So, Marion, do you have any other final thoughts you want to leave with our audience before we end our podcast for now?
Well, first, I want to thank you for having me on. And I want to encourage people to gift this to their families, gift a My Estate Planner to their families. It just saves so much stress and frustration and anxiety and angst during a period where you should be taking the time to grieve. You know, I'd say to many people, do you love Family Feud but hate your family feuding? Then you should get this planner, because families fight and argue and bicker over people's estate all the time because no one sat down and said, this should go here, this should go here, you get this, you get that, you get that. And this eliminates all of that, that process. So I just hope they will serve or gift it to their family, people who have aging parents or people who are aging. It's a wonderful tool and very affordable. And come to the Apollo every Wednesday night, any Wednesday night.
That's awesome. Awesome. So, Marian, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. And you definitely have quite an amazing career. I did want to ask you about Three Mole Tenors. Like, how did that all come about? What inspired you to produce that?
Okay, I'm visiting my mom at home in Florida. We're sitting watching television, and on comes the screen, the three tenors live at Dodger Stadium. That was the three opera stars, Carreras Domingo, and I've forgotten the other
Pavarotti,
one.
I believe
Pavarotti, right. Yes. So they were, and so they had an amazing concert. And as they were going through the concert, they sang, you know, 98% opera throughout the evening, because that's what they do. That's where they hang their hat. But for with tongue in cheek, they decided to sing a Broadway song and venture outside the opera genre. And I was sitting there. And when I heard them singing this Broadway song, I said, man, if they weren't stars, people might be booing them now, because they sound so stiff singing Broadway. And then the light bulb went on in my head, over my head. And I said, Mom, I know Black classically trained tenors that can sing a lot of styles of music. And it sounds like the style they're singing. These guys sing gospel, and then gospel sounds like gospel, jazz like jazz, soul like soul, blues like blues, but they are classically trained and they sing opera for a living. And I said, I think there's something here. And she said, that's a pretty good idea. And so thus was born Three Mole Tenors. I didn't know what to name the concert. I didn't want to sing three Black tenors or three Negro tenors, and I thought about Mo Better Blues and the Mo contraction meaning more. And I thought, these tenors I'm talking about are more than most tenors. And that's where the contraction came from, Mo. And using the contraction Mo, everybody would think that it was something Black to do with that title. So I created that title, Three Mo Tenors. I copyrighted it and did the copyright and a trademark on that name, and I created the show. And within a year of that, sitting there with that idea, Three Mole Tenors was up and running.
That's incredible. You know, the thing about, well, as a musician myself, as a violinist, I can definitely I can see the difference as I was growing up with the classically trained musicians around me versus my, you know, musical language, you know.
Right.
I'm multilingual, you know, gospel, R&B, hip hop, classical. But, you know, I think that comes as the outgrowth of just being Black in general, to navigate a white supremacist society. You have to be multidimensional in your understanding of people and culture, and so that extends into the musical realm as well. And that, I think that's amazing how you took that inherent state of being Black and created this art, Three Mole Tenors. That's amazing. That's
yeah, amazing. And then we followed that up with Three Mole Divas, and so that's been a good franchise for me. And I can't speak on it right now, but there's something else in the works out of that franchise are gonna show up in the next year or so as well.
Well, you heard it here first on the SEO Queen Tech Show that there's more to come with the three more tenors and three more divas, something else to come along with that amazing, amazing show. So I just want to ask you, like, how important has SEO been to your ventures to date and your career to date?
Well, SEO just showed up in my life halfway through COVID. I'd never heard the term, didn't understand the term. And then, so I had to learn because I created a website called Showbiz Stories where various artists come on and tell their behind the scene tales, showbizstories.com. And that was my venture into websites and the internet and SEO. And I can tell you that I didn't use it wisely enough with Showbiz Stories, which I am now rectifying that with my estate planner at sunshinepublicationsllc.com. SEO will sit in the front row of my development, and the SEO queen is steering the ship for me with my SEO for Sunshine Publications LLC, because it is so necessary to make sure the world, and especially the Google side of the world, knows that you exist. Because no matter what product you have, if no one knows that you have it, you will never sell it, and it will never serve the purpose that you created it for. So I am leaning hard on the SEO queen to help me navigate the waters of the internet. And I am loving the relationship we have and looking forward to a great success for both of us.
Well, I did not pay him to say that.
That is so
much. Thank you so much. And the feeling is mutual. We have a lot of great things in store for sunshinepublicationsllc.com. Well, this has been a great episode of the SEO Queen Tech Show. This is a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. You know, I hope you guys are bookmarking these episodes because I have the most amazing guests. You got to hear behind the scenes with Amateur Night at the Apollo, one of the most famous theaters in the world. And one of the it has to be the oldest running talent show in the world. It has to be. It's older than Eurovision, AGT, all of those. And, you know, this comes out of our culture. It comes out of Harlem. It comes out of New York, New York, New York. This is a awesome thing. And, you know, Marion is continuing to inspire millions through becoming an author and his My Estate Planner guide. So again, this podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary Reach More Clients Power session. And again, today's guest on the SEO Queen Tech Show is the man behind Amateur Night at the Apollo, Three More Tenors, Three More Divas, and the author of My Estate Planner. You can learn more about Marion at sunshinepublicationsllc.com. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen, with visibility like never before. When traffic's gonna explode, it's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads,
like never before. No traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.